Hey guys, welcome back to this exciting episode of Newsprint Commando. I'm your host, Ed Moore. If you want to get in touch, TO Productions on Blue Sky, Twitter, or Facebook is a place to try. Teal is T-E-A-L. As well on Twitter, try NewsP Commando. IamIndieMan@gmail.com is the email address, and comicbooknoise.com/TNC, the website that is Tango November Charlie. Now, as I sit in front of my microphone, I hold in my hand Amazing Comics X-Mutants number 2 from approximately January 1987. Full color cover showing our five protagonists, Aaron, Belushi, Vicky, Angela, and Lorelei, back to back, fending off an attack from a group of unknowns 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, probably 14, 15 or more that we can see. Inside front cover, X-Mutants changes from William Davidson, explaining why it was from Eternity, and now it's from Amazing, and it's marked Pied Piper, and all of these different goofy things that go on behind the scenes. I don't really care. I care up to a point. It's history, though. You can look it up pretty well. The book is black and white. I dig that. This, then, is the future. Irradiated ruins inhabited by hideous mutations. Testimony to the destruction that many believed was World War III. We see a scene here of our big brain, Dr. Emmanuel Cugat, as he's walking down a hall with an Uzi, responding to a scratch that he keeps hearing at his door, knowing that if he opens the door, he will be exposing himself and his laboratory to whatever is wanting to come in, but this sound has been going on for a while, so it must come to an end. So he hits the switch, opens the door, and jumps out. All right, this is it, you son of a... With the Uzi cocked, ready to go, and there is nobody standing out there. At his feet in the rubble sits a baby who says, "Goo?" Question mark. Dropping the Uzi, Dr. Cugat picks up the baby, all cradles it to his face, holds it up in front of him and looks at it, and then realizes, damn it, what's the matter with me? There's somebody out here and I'm standing around gawking like a moron. I don't see anything, but it's too dangerous to be standing around out here. I still wish I knew where this baby came from and why. As he backs into his hidden lair and triggers the door that slides across the front of him again. Outside, we see a mutant who looks and watches and then the fact that everything is done that he wanted to see, runs off. We cut to about 150 miles west, better known as somewhere in Pennsylvania. Well, what do you think? Aaron is asking Belushi as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They and one other, who I believe we're going to find out his name is Zach, are dancing around in a big circle here. Not dancing around a fire. They're just dancing around. And then Zach pulls Belushi aside and hands him some Wild Turkey. Genuine pre-Holocaust drinking whiskey. Want to give it a try, he says. And so Belushi takes a big old glug or downs the whole bottle or something, about half the bottle. And then he whips off and pukes and coughs and all this kind of stuff, which is funny. A lot like people who smoke for the first time react. I don't know. I had a pretty violent reaction to the first time I tried to smoke, but the first time I drank, I don't remember. It was some drinking whiskey. I forget what it was. Oh, maybe it was Thunderbird? No. Yeah, I forget. We're only looking at way too long ago. I forget what it was, but I didn't have that kind of reaction is my point. So Belushi and Zach are talking. We find out how we got from the end of last issue, which was car wreck, car turned over, X-Mutants scattered around with a group looking, watching on from the shadows, potentially approaching them. To now, everybody having a big old party down in Wild Turkey. Belushi tells Zach, you know, what happened, what went on, as far as he can, as far as the X-Mutants' history, to a point. I mean, he doesn't give away everything about them. Just, well, you know, Dr. Q getting the car and the drive-in and all that kind of stuff. Cut back to the dock. While Belushi sleeps, others are busy in New York because Belushi finally passes out from drinking too much Wild Turkey, I would presume. Every test result is the same. They all indicate this baby is human. But who brought him here? And why? Unless, of course, his parents must have been that mob. Must have seen that mob attack my ex-mutants and realized the reception this baby would get. And brought him to me for safekeeping. Well, don't worry, little fella. You'll be taken care of. I almost had him till I stepped on that damn twig. As we quickly transfer to a mutant talking to Fred, who says it doesn't matter. He's taking the child in. He's as good as ours now. Fred. Three-fingered Fred. Four-toed Fred. Interesting. A group of Fred's cronies here being led by Douglas and Mitchell. Cruising on motorcycles trying to track down our ex-mutants. They're talking back and forth as they're cruising. We cut back to Belushi being awakened by the other girls. Of course, he's hungover. Needs an infusion of some water and a nip or two of the hair of the dog that bit you. That's what I was always told to get over that. I always just ate something greasy and my tummy usually settled down. I think that was kind of weird, too. I think a lot of other people, when they ate something greasy, it didn't act too well when they were hungover. But it worked for me. Again, though, that was a very long time ago. So, not 100% sure. Maybe that wouldn't work anymore. I don't know. I don't want to try it, to be honest. I'm 55. I don't want to get drunk and have a hangover anymore. Sorry. So the girls wake him up, and Belushi joins three of them. Angie's not with them because she's working on the car. She found that this group where they're at has a really cool garage, and she's trying to fix the car. Zach is going to take the other three girls and Belushi on a tour of wherever they're at. We cut back to Douglas and Mitchell still looking, starting to see more and more signs of the car was here and where they went. And so they're getting closer all the time. In the garage, Angie's working on the car. Find out that the radio that the doc put in there to help maintain contact between he and them is pretty well shot. The electrical system just got fried in the accident. It's kind of convenient, but nonetheless. Zach tells him, yeah, we got this sweet garage here because we used to have a motorcycle gang called the Wild Knights, which addendum gets its own four-issue miniseries after this issue, actually. So they go on with the tour. We cut back to Kugat, who we see is having a little bit of difficulty feeding the baby because he's not too up on baby feeding. The last feeding that he did was to teenagers. And, of course, you just lay it in front of them and they'll scarf up just about anything. The baby, not so much. Go back. Zach shows them New Hope, which is the main place where everybody's living. Now, they kept the ex-mutants away for a little while because they didn't really know them, didn't trust them, from the main compound of New Hope with farm fields around it. And that in particular intrigues Belushi because he asks, you know, we thought that the ground was too irradiated to grow anything, to work anymore. And Zach is like, well, it is a little bit of a work. You know, we got to work at it. But this is nothing like the ground, you know, where you guys are from there in the city, because in the major metropolitan places, radiation was a lot worse because those were the places directly attacked by the nuclear bombs. Out here away from the city, it affected, but not as badly. Here in the midst of this, in the very center of the book, we have a two-page direct marketing comic book company price list of books that you can get, including collector supplies I see here. Free service and promotions, ordering information, you know, the whole nine yards. What is it? I used to see these ads from like East Coast Comics and books all the time. Mile High used to do this. I think in the 90s, that upstart company, American Entertainment, I think, had things like this in there. You used to see them all the time. Just list of titles, issue numbers, and price. Just title after title. I always used to fawn over those. My very first back issues that I ever bought, I bought out of a comic book, an East Coast comics advert, actually. It was All-Star Squadron 1 through 6, because I had found 7 through, like, 10 or something like that on the spinner rack. And I remember my naivete. After adding everything up, I put paper money and coinage in an envelope with a piece of letter-sized paper with the books that I wanted and send it off. I actually got the books back. So, yeah, that was naive me. Funny days. Ha ha. All right, we go back to what? The story of the Wild Knights here, as Zach is telling them how, yeah, we were bad. We had a biker gang. We used to grow the marijuana. And we decided we were going to have our own little place here and built up. And then the war came. And he catches them up on what they've been doing since the war, you know, as far as their little commune here. Although, yeah, I guess even after the war, you would call it a commune. Definitely would have called it a commune before the war. It's Mitchell. Not for long, you don't, as he interrupts the story. He and Douglas and another motorcycle rider that kind of looks like the Brood, little Brood dude from Marvel X-Men comics. He kind of looks like that dude. But they're on motorcycles and they jump up, you know, out of the causeway here that they were riding and attack all of the individuals, Belushi first, and then the girls draw their swords, go back to back to fight everybody off. Fighting ensues, pages of fighty-fighty here. Seeing one of the girls throws the sword through one of the evil mutants' heads here in silhouette. It doesn't show it full on. Big bad mutant is about to kill one of the girls. He de-swords her as she tries to catch him with the sword. He picks her up and flings her against one of the other girls, knocking two of them out. And as he's standing there laughing, you see a seam form down his face and body and everything. Belushi has sliced him in two with his katana. And as the two parts fall aside, you see Belushi there behind him. Three of the girls are knocked out. One of the girls, this is Aaron, actually, I believe, and Belushi stand back to back as the mutants push in. Then all of a sudden, the Wild Knights arrive, all of them on their motorcycles. They attack, much like Fred's group attacked to begin this little part of the story. But they attack. Several motorcyclists rush by and pick up the girls so nothing happens to them. Hacking with swords and kicking with booted feet with all kinds of metallic things sticking out of the boot. So a full-on fight ensues until the Wild Knights kill and or dispatch all of Fred's bad guys here. Some more talky-talk here with the ex-mutants as everybody says thanks and everybody says you're welcome. Cut back to Professor Cugat here who realizes, wow, nothing else is wrong with this crying baby. He must just be hungry. So he goes to get him some more food. And then something really weird happens here. The baby kind of twists and turns and flings itself off the bed. But either way, I believe that the baby is growing is what we're... and perhaps becoming more mutant-y. But I believe that's what's going to happen is that the baby is a plant and it's going to grow and grow and grow until it eats everything. Next page is an advert, several consecutive adverts here to finish out the book. Leading the Way in Graphic Entertainment, Pied Piper Press, an introduction of sorts by Mark Hamlin. And then an advert for a poster of Cobalt Blue by Bill Willingham, Mike Gustavich, and Jeff D. Now, those names to me are just, those are... Well, I can't use rock stars because there's a commercial about everybody being called rock stars. But in my mind at this time, those are big names. Bill Willingham, known for then, I'm not so impressed what he's known for now. But back then, he was known for The Elementals, my all-time favorite superhero comic book. Mike Gustavich was known for Justice Machine, probably top five. Notwithstanding the fact that the introduction of the Elementals was in a Justice Machine book. And I talked about it with Joe Crawford and who all was that? It was Joe Crawford's podcast. There were three or four of us on there if you want to look that up. That's been a while, 2-3 years ago. Jeff D. Was responsible for coloring, I think it was, on Badger. Oh, another good book. I talked about it a couple seasons back on Newsprint Commando. Cobalt Blue, yeah. A Christmas time gaming customer's dream. Fun pack number one, Trebuchet, a working cut and fold catapult here for $3.95 US. It's got plans and all the paper things that you punch out and can assemble. Both of these are by Pied Piper now. Again, this book is titled Amazing Comics, but if you look in the indicia, it is printed and sold by Pied Piper Press. No idea what the relationship is. Don't really want to know. It's probably some businessy thing. Wishes, dreams, and fantasies portfolio. Now, this is a really high-end portfolio. This is $150 for the portfolio itself, or you can pay $250 total for a five-year subscription to subsequent portfolios of this nature. Doesn't tell us how many units are in this portfolio. Or nine. Here it does. I'm sorry. Nine plates, 11 by 14, plus portfolio folder and Mylar slip jacket. So, artists participating. Kelly Jones, I recognize. Pat Broderick, Steve Lealoa, Jerry Ordway, Paul Smith, Ken Stacy. Some other names. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 names total, including those I mentioned. Cover by Judy Kirk. All print rights have been donated by the artists on each specially commissioned plate. So that way, Pied Piper can just sell them and make money. And then that's we have on the left side the advert, and on the right side, the whole page is an order page for it. Interesting technique. Then we have another ad for Direct Marketing Comic Book Company, but these are just hot selling titles. Alpha Flight, Cloak and Dagger, Boris the Bear. What else we got? Man of Steel, Samurai Penguin, which I have those. X-Men, Micronauts, Next Men, Green Arrow, Infinity Inc. So those are the hot selling titles for them. Inside Back Cover, Mutant Male. It's an editorial by David Lawrence, because they don't have letters yet. He's asking for and filling the space here. Then on the back, we have a black and white mock-up of what could be the cover to X-Mutants number 3, also going to be from Amazing Comics. It says coming soon. And that is the issue. 36 pages. The book is 36 pages. There's probably, five? Two more is seven. So there's 29 pages of story there. Good stuff. Always been a fan of X-Mutants. We have the introduction of Wild Knights, which will go on to be another limited series from Amazing. I think it was from Amazing also, but in the X-Mutants Destroyed World, going along with a series that crosses over in another couple issues called New Humans. And the three pretty much form the basis for this world that Amazing is putting together here. Fun stuff. I enjoyed it quite a bit in the day. And I've been enjoying it because I've been rereading that whole universe here the past couple months or so in my spare time, that is. So, I think that's everything for me. Next time will be a Pacific Tuesday. And I said this last issue, but I'll say it again. Alien Worlds number 1, Captain Victory and the Galactic Rangers issue number 9, and Gru 2 is the next episode. And that will be a Pacific Tuesday. The episode after that, which will be a regular Newsprint Commando episode, I will be looking at Elf Lord number 3 from Aerosol. Catch you guys then. Ciao.